Hello and welcome to the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. In today's very short and sweet episode, I'll be talking about my experience as a lawyer acting for other lawyers who are being sued for professional negligence and what that has taught me. I'm recording this podcast on the traditional lands of the Ngunnawal people, and I pay my respects to their elders past and present. Now, I've been fortunate enough to do quite a few different things over my legal career. At the moment, I primarily focus on criminal defence law, but in the past, I've been lucky enough to act as a lawyer representing other lawyers. And there were some key features arising in the types of matters that I used to assist them with. I'd like to give a bit of information about what kinds of things sometimes land lawyers in hot water and some really easy fixes. A number of matters that I helped lawyers with involved binding financial agreements. Now, these are types of agreements that arise in family law matters where people are separated and going to divorce, and they're trying to come to an agreement about what to do with property and finances. So they're often born out of people trying to do the right thing, avoid the need for court, and just reach an agreement. And this all sounds excellent in theory, and the intention behind it is great. The reason that I had to help out some lawyers is that they were lawyers who acted for these people in various types of matters that were not family law matters. They may have been commercial lawyers who had been long-term lawyers for these people and so were their trusted advisors. And so when these clients, existing clients, asked them to give them a hand with these binding financial agreements, they thought, well, look, I really owe it to this person to do this for them. It doesn't look that complicated. I'd love to be able to keep their costs down for them and save them from needing to go and instruct another law firm, give them all the background and incur the costs. So usually the lawyers are trying to do something good for their existing clients. They're not in it to make a lot of money, and indeed some of the most serious professional negligence matters that I have seen involve very low fees for the client. So there's no malice involved on the lawyer's part. There's certainly not a desire to make mountains of money. Often it's quite the opposite. They're trying to look after an existing client and do the right thing by them. But unfortunately, it goes awry. So binding financial agreements have extremely specialized requirements. One of those requirements is that the parties each get independent legal advice. Now, I have unfortunately seen matters where different solicitors from the same firm purported to give independent legal advice to different parties to one of these binding financial agreements. Now, while it's true that they didn't consult, they kept everything completely separate, there's a really high degree of scrutiny that the family court can put forward over these binding financial agreements. So it's really important that all compliance is watertight. So having two solicitors from the same firm, however well-intentioned and however much they kept matters separate and confidential from each other, purporting to give independent legal advice wasn't on. The courts have also ruled that the types of advice that you give clients in relation to binding financial agreements needs to be really, really thorough. It needs to be comprehensive. It's not like when lawyers sometimes are asked to give advice about the meaning of the words in a document, explain what they mean. Lawyers actually have to give advice in these binding financial agreements to the overall circumstances involved, so they need to have a proper understanding of what the amount of property is that might be shared between the parties over the course of the relationship. They need to really grapple with the substantive issues rather than just sort of commenting on the form of the agreement. And sometimes lawyers get trapped in this because when you don't act in a particular area of law as a matter of course, you just don't know what you don't know, as the saying goes. Very often lawyers have come a cropper because of this. And another factor that often gets lawyers drawn into working in these particular areas when it's not their usual type of law is that the matters are framed by the existing clients as, look, we've reached an agreement, we just need to tick this box of getting legal advice, and then we'll move on. Unfortunately, because of the high degree of scrutiny involved in these types of agreements, that's not good enough. Other types of matters that I've seen lawyers become engaged in some problems involve the missing of limitation periods in personal injury matters. Now, a very simple way of dealing with that is to ascertain at the very start of your retainer what the limitation date is, mark it on the front of the physical file, mark it in the electronic file, and set yourself a series of reminders. It's also really important when you're considering limitation dates. Obviously, you don't want to miss them, but also you want to give your client very clear advice about when they are, and you want to make sure you're following up in writing with your client, seeking instructions as those dates are coming up, and explaining really clearly to your client about the implications of missing a limitation date. You also need to make sure that if the client ceases their retainer with you, that you make it really clear what the limitation date will be, and ensure that you have put in writing that you need them to know that this date is a very decisive date and why, so that it can't be said that you were negligent when that relationship was ending, as well as while it was on foot. It's trite, but it's true. The chief reason for lawyers receiving complaints from their clients, let's put aside negligence for the moment, but complaints to regulators like the Law Society or the Legal Services Commissioner, is lack of communication with clients. If you're being polite and honest, I don't think it's possible to over-communicate with clients. I would rather ensure that they're well-informed than risk that they are not. Now, of course, you may need to juggle whether you bill clients for all of the communications that you send them. Maybe you shouldn't, maybe you can't. Even if you can't, even if you shouldn't, it is better to communicate with them than not. Even if it means you're doing some work for that client that you're not recovering money for, it protects you in the long run from complaints, and it also helps you look after your client better, manage their matter better, get instructions that are more fulsome, and to really understand what your client's needs are and to serve them. It really protects that relationship that you have with them as a trusted advisor. If nothing else, I hope that listeners take away that sometimes problems arising with lawyers don't come out of any malice or any intention to do the wrong thing. They, in fact, don't come out of any intention to gain personally at all. They're often motivated by good intentions, and we've often heard that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and unfortunately, that's what it feels like when you're a lawyer and you face a complaint or a negligence claim, so I'm told. I've tried to do my best to smooth the path for those people, and the lessons that I have learned from that are to make sure that when you are engaging in something for a client, that you are actually competent to work in that area. Sometimes it's really necessary to protect the client's interests, to do the hard thing and to say no and to refer them to someone else. You need to be competent in the area that you're working in, and you need to make sure that you don't fall foul of that old trap, not knowing what you don't know. So if you're ever feeling like you need to say yes to a client when you think that you should be saying no, use those excellent polite communication skills and be honest. Over-communicate if you need to. You can still retain the relationship with the client and the goodwill. And ultimately, I have found that people appreciate you being frank. If you can't do something, people are heartened to know that you will send them to someone who can. So look after yourselves. If you're a lawyer out there, bear that in mind. If you're a client, well, this might be why your lawyer has tried to pass you on to someone else to look after a matter. They're looking after your best interests. They want what is the best for you. Thanks for listening. Look after yourselves and come back next week for another episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. Take care.